Doing time. That's an expression often used to describe serving a sentence in prison. Living in an environment of institutional control, what choice do prisoners have about how they are doing time? Allison Link argues that even, and maybe especially, in the environment of a prison, how people make choices can have a huge impact on their lives. Allison is a leisure education consultant and teacher. She's been working with prisoners on the issues of time, leisure, and agency for several years. She's currently working on a PhD that is exploring these connections. Allison Link joins us on the phone from her home in New York City to tell us more about her work and philosophy on leisure. Thanks for joining us, Allison. It's great to be talking with you.
Thanks, Emily, for showing an interest in the subject and raising the awareness of your listeners.
I'd never heard of leisure studies until I came across an article of your work. When people hear the term leisure, they probably think of things like watching a movie or sitting on a beach, maybe playing a sport. How is it that you define leisure?
That's a great question, and I'm asked it often. I usually throw it back right at the person who asks me of how do you define leisure. I think it's a question that we all need to ask ourselves and to explore the opportunities for new types of ways of thinking about it. For example, in the academic leisure field, there, of course, is the way of thinking about leisure as free time or as unobligated time, spare time, with a time-related construct. And then there's a way of thinking about it as an activity or a hobby, and some people think about it more in that way. But what I like to help people explore is leisure as a state of mind. Leisure as a state of mind means that it can happen at any moment, at any time. It can happen at what one might call work. It can happen for 1 second, or it can last for an extended period of time. It means that someone would have a perception of freedom and feel free and feel choice and agency. And so what I like to do is to help people explore all different ways of thinking about leisure so that they can heighten their awareness about it, and then that awareness helps them with their own quality of life and day-to-day.
And why did you want to work with prisoners on this issue?
I want to work with prisoners on the issue because prisoners are people who need leisure and the tools to use it wisely, just like any of us. And I originally came across the idea when I had already been working in the leisure field and in the academic leisure world after completing my master's degree in leisure and recreation studies and resources management. And I had decided that I thought leisure as a coping skill, and leisure especially in times of transition for people, can be very helpful in coping and survival, and not just survival, but actually living life through especially hard transitions. But even a transition that might not be looked at as something very difficult. And so I started to think about populations of people who experience transitions that have, and they're up against obstacles and have many barriers. So in particular, the prison population came to mind when I started my doctoral program. And it was at that time that I thought that the recidivism rate and the research that I'd heard about of the return rate to prison was so high, about 2/3. And I started to explore the idea of leisure as a relationship between leisure and reducing the rate of recidivism. So then I got more interested in this and the relationship between time and crime, that when people have more time on their hands or they also have less time and feel more stressed, that may have a relationship between time and crime. And as I started to look towards my dissertation, I looked specifically at some policies that I got interested in that restrict prisoners and deny recreation and choice to prisoners. So that's almost the whole picture of how I started and then where I got to now.
I think for some people, maybe they're still trying to conceptualize what you mean by leisure. Maybe it would help if you talked a little bit about what kind of work that you do with prisoners. What kind of things do you try to get them to think about and engage with them about?
So the first most important thing is that it's really not just engaging people in recreation, but it's engaging people in a process of learning to engage in activity and in life that is about choice, helping them value their time. And I do that in lots of different ways. I do that in a group setting, in an individual coaching session, in a way of heightening their awareness about how they spend their time, engaging in activity of choice and the reflection process about that, helping them develop skills that relate to life skills of leisure, like being assertive in how they spend their time, problem solving, decision making, but also leisure skills just related to specific activities that they might want to explore, and also help them identify and utilize resources. So really with this population, it's thinking about new people, places, and things, so that it's not going back to the old lifestyle, but the new opportunities and seeing options and resources beyond what they anticipated before were even possibilities for ways to actually enjoy quality of life, find a balance to their obligated time so that they can, you know, when you have leisure, you can handle your unobligated time and your work more efficiently and effectively, and really just try to empower the whole person and their identity. So I do many different ways of really approaching it, very interactive and using all different modalities and trying to hit on people's senses from different perspectives, often using music, often engaging with people on an individual level but also a group level so they can actually choose activities, whether it's in a facility where people are not allowed out, or if it's in still a Department of Corrections related facility, but people are in a halfway house situation, still prisoners, but still able to leave and engage with them in all different types of things, that focusing on their choice and their understanding of their own choice, and that they have the power to choose something that's healthy and that's positive and pro-social for them, and that that has a ripple effect into their own lives, their family lives, and communities, and even the prison environment while they're still incarcerated as a whole. So it helps reduce stress, it helps reduce boredom and anxiety and aggression. So we see on multiple levels the individual and the collective impact, both in prison and in society, for leisure education.
It's interesting because prison is such an institutionally controlled environment, a place where it's almost designed to take away as much agency and choice from people. So I think it's interesting that you're doing this work in that kind of environment. I'm just curious if you can talk a little bit more about the challenges that prisoners face in trying to make these changes in their lives within that context, or the importance of doing that work when they're living with such great constraints.
It's difficult. Often the first thing I hear is, oh, there's no choice here, or how can we have leisure here? But then I ask the question again, and I find people who feel free, who feel they have choice in prison. And so there's the whole spectrum of people, of how they feel and what their agency is. So I think there are many barriers, and some of that comes from the lack of really having a broad perspective on the concept of what leisure can be. And I think from the beginning, when I'm able to tap into that resource, that potential, that it's eye-opening for the people I've worked with, because they have a new idea and they see new opportunities and options even while in prison. They may have said, oh, there are no resources for me. There's nothing to do here. I'm totally bored. And then I might put on Groundhog Day. I don't know if you've seen the movie with Bill Murray, that he wakes up in the same day every day, and people say, oh, I know that routine. I live in Groundhog Day. I live in this routine every day. But then they're able to see from different perspectives that there's the opportunity to change, and there's the opportunity to have choice, even if it's small choices. And when they start to build on that and realize that they can change their state of mind at any time if they choose it, and that they can find unobligated time in the day, whether they are busy in work and treatment programs, or if they have lots of unobligated time, they can find time to choose. And I think that's the most powerful thing about what I do, is when people, they have a paradigm shift in what they're able to think about as leisure or quality of life, or how to value their time. And they start to think about time differently, and they want to value it in a new way, and then I can work from there. So the first stage is really heightening their awareness. And of course, there are lots of barriers, but I'm trying to also deinstitutionalize while people are institutionalized. I'm trying to help them to still maintain choice and even have more choice in their lives than they even thought that they have had prior to their incarceration.
It's interesting because it really has to do also with accepting on a certain level the circumstances that people find themselves in, and then that seems to be maybe the first step. And then within those circumstances, what options do you have? Because I think if you're in a state of fighting where you're at or being really angry and just not able to accept where you are, then it becomes really difficult to see that you have choices.
That's a good point. It is about perspective, of course, and I think it's also about being able to have leisure in one's life can help in other aspects of life and reduce anger or other factors. So I think it is about seeing what you have at any particular time in your life, any moment, and trying to say, make the choice. How do I want to live this moment? And being able to make that choice and based on whatever resources, whatever ingredients they have to cook with, that they are able to make something and to enjoy that and to make it a process also of anticipation, that they're able to even plan for something to engage in, that they can plan for even 5 minutes to own their time, to take back their time, and that then they have the experience, and then that they have some memory or they have something after the fact that they're able to think back on, and the ripple effect of those benefits are very powerful. So it is about the acceptance of where they are, but knowing that they have the ability to choose and that they can have the choice from within and not feel the external factors. I think this relates especially through the transition, because once someone returns to society, they may think, wow, I have lots of barriers, lots of things to think about. I'm not going to prioritize leisure. But then when they realize that even a leisure state of mind to choose for some time to have agency over their time, it really makes a big difference. And that as opposed to putting it last on the list, like even some of us do, that we're able to put it higher on the list because we know what happens when we don't have it in our lives. We see the burnout, we see the anxiety, we see the depression and some other things that come into play, or just not feeling like our best selves. And so we want to help people feel like their best selves.
So what have been some responses that you've gotten from prisoners to your work?
I've had the range. I've had some fantastic responses. At first, there's some fascination in it. And, that seems odd that the prison is having you come and talk to us about this. But from the beginning, the rapport that's set up, I think, is the most important, and that it's really a genuine understanding of people's lives in different situations and being able to meet them where they're at and to be able to help open their eyes. And this is with any human being working with someone who's close to leisure or change. And so there are some people who really embrace it from the beginning, and there are some people who are a little bit more resistant, prisoners themselves. But once I start talking about leisure in prison and recognizing that there is the opportunity for it, then people start thinking about what it might be like on the outside. They start trying to see how they can make the change on the inside so that they can practice, so that they can develop new patterns to be able to maintain it on the outside. Now, that's not every person. There are some people who say, I'm going to wait until I get out to have leisure. And then I say, when you get out, how much leisure do you think that you're going to have? And let's talk about the reality of the barriers, and let's talk about the reality that you're also going to have more options and more opportunity to choose in other ways. But it doesn't mean you have to wait till you get out. It's like anyone saying, I'm going to wait till I retire to have leisure, or I'm going to wait till I get that new job, or I'm going to wait till that next big moment. But really, we have to live in the everyday and maximize every day's potential. And so So there is a buy-in, and I think people genuinely start being advocates for it through the facilities that I've worked in, and I see a shift in morale overall, and I see a shift even with the staff. And of course, I always start with the staff because you need staff buy-in before you even get into working with anyone who's incarcerated. The staff don't really believe in it. And I hit some resistance there at the beginning as well with respect to working with the prisoners on recreation and leisure education-related issues. But ultimately, I have been able to help people realize their own need for leisure in their own lives. So I guess it really depends from the beginning, the response I get, on who it is and what their thoughts are about their own leisure and how to help shift attitudes in general about the need for every human being to have leisure.
Do you have any particularly inspiring stories that stand out to you from prisoners who have engaged in this sort of new way of thinking?
I do. I have quite a few. On the top of my head right now, I'm thinking about a formerly incarcerated person who I'd worked with who had moved to Florida and made a call to me to actually talk to me about helping with leisure education for his children as a single parent, how to help them engage in activities and choice and find things to do over last summer. And that meant to me that he was thinking about it for himself to also apply for the next generation and be a role model. And I think that's key. I think also with related to parents and kids, some of the men that I've worked with have also talked to me prior to family visits to say, you know, I don't know what to do. Sometimes it's a hard interaction with my family, but how can I help plan this for our visit to actually do something that is fun and enjoyable for us. So I help them to also, in the planning process, that they can plan for a visit, not just wait for their family to show up. They can plan with their kids on the phone, and they can say, what do you want to do, and really have that process go on. I've had one group, actually a great story of, I would ask in this group, how can you choose one thing to implement this week that will help improve the quality of your life this week, just this week? Choose one thing. So one individual chose that he wanted to say good morning to everybody who was in his unit. He said it's really depressing, and that would improve the quality of his life, add leisure, add a perception of freedom. He would feel much better about the rest of the day if just he would say good morning and more people said good morning. So I asked him the next week, and he said it's rough. People sort of say to him, what are you saying good morning to me for, or why are you doing this, and saying, what are you talking to me? They want to know what he wanted from them, et cetera. So then a few months later, I actually was working again in the same unit and told this story, and someone said out loud to the group, what are you talking about? Everyone says good morning to everybody in this unit. It's really a great thing. It's a very positive morale and attitude here. So just the change of state of mind that it can be something so simple, I really think it went a long way.
How do you see this work around leisure that you do? How do you see it challenging the philosophy of punishment as a response to crime on more of a systemic level?
Well, it for sure is a change to policymakers and administrators and even the perception of the public. And I think that it is a holistic approach that needs to be spoken about much more often, and it needs to become a model that is utilized. I think that, of course, the punitive way of thinking is how a lot of the prisons have run, but this could be a way to change the way prisons are run in our country, and it could be the way to keep people out of prison and in society with their families, with their kids, involved in activity and citizenship and be positive role models and create new patterns and have a whole new concept. It does challenge, but I think with more discussion, more people practicing this kind of leisure education with more research around the ideas of leisure and crime and time and incarceration and reentry, that this ultimately will happen. Right now, there's limited research in the field. There definitely are some people in Canada and the States that I'm familiar with, and I think there needs to be a lot more of that. So the people who are actually doing it or supporting work like mine and others, kudos to you, and also to you, Emily, for bringing this idea on the show to be able to raise the awareness of listeners to start talking about leisure, prison, recreation, prison, really looking at the rehabilitative approach or habilitative approach to be able to see a whole person. And I think that's what we want to do. We want to see people as people, and that every person has the opportunity to change for the better, to make choices every day. And we want to give people that opportunity. And just like people who I know who have reentered society have been able to do it. And that's in documented way that people really have learned many ways of incorporating the things that they learn in prison in a positive way into society, also in a positive way. And of course, we know the opposite of that. People can learn things in prison that are negative or harmful to themselves in society, and that translates out to society as well. So I think we have to make the choice that more than 95% of people who are incarcerated come home to society. How do we want to help them come home to society in a way that's best for them and best for our society?
Well, thanks so much for joining us and sharing a little bit, some perspectives about what you spend most of your time working on, and having us think a little bit about how these issues connect to incarceration and all of us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
We have been speaking with Allison Link. She's a professor and consultant in leisure education, and she works with prisoners around issues of leisure. You can find more information about her and her work on her website. It's theleisurelinkconsulting.com. That's www.theleisurelinkconsulting.com.